Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And a pleasant Thursday afternoon, everyone. John Hansen in for Steve Bertrand today and tomorrow here on the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. At least not quite as humid as it was yesterday. A one-day reprieve, it sounds like. Nice day outside. A lot of people on Michigan Avenue on their lunch break walking around and some peering here into the All-State Showcase Studio. For one of the last few days, are able to do that, and we appreciate that. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be talking about the rise in men, especially young men, getting plastic surgery and what procedures young men are doing with plastic surgery, perhaps why there have been a rise in plastic surgery amongst young men. So we're going to be talking with Dr. Jeffrey Janis, who's the president and of American Society of Plastic Surgeons, about exactly why that is, including one that's almost a 100% increase in the last 20 years in young men doing a certain procedure done to themselves. If you can text in 312-981-7200, I'd love to see if you can guess which procedure men are getting more. They're almost doubled as many men are getting this procedure, young men, since the year 2000. And we don't have a prize for you, but I'd love to see if anyone can guess that. Again, send us a text. It's 312-981-7200. Okay, but right now we're going to be talking about food labels. And I think when you go to the grocery store, you're in a lot of trouble sometimes with food labels. Boy, there's so many of them, low fat, natural, organic, and it's hard to parse which ones are maybe controlled by the FDA or at least monitored by such or require some sort of testing to be able to do that. And here to break that all down for us is Charlotte. And Charlotte, I got to ask your last name. Is it Valais?
Yes, Valais.
Valais. Okay, I was close there, Charlotte. Well, you're from the Consumer Report, a food safety expert, and we got to ask because these labels can be confusing. I imagine you guys hear that a lot. What do these labels mean? There are so many of them these days.
Yes, absolutely. So many labels, and they all have different meaning, even different ways that you mentioned the FDA regulating labels. There's even different agencies in the government, regulating different claims on different types of products. So it gets very confusing and can be very hard for consumers to make sense of it all.
I imagine, because some are there for our protection. They're labels that we need to know. Some are there as ways to try and entice you to buy them. And I think that's the difficult part. You're trying to wonder, is this label meant to help me or is this label meant to motivate me? What is one of the most misleading labels out there?
So natural.
Okay.
That word natural on a food label can be quite misleading because there's no common standard set for most foods on what that term has to mean. So if a food manufacturer labels their product as natural, as a consumer, you really have no idea what the food manufacturer meant by that. And we've done surveys here at Consumer Reports of what do consumers expect from that. And a lot of them expect it to mean, say, you see it on a fruit product. They think it should mean no toxic pesticides were used on the farms that were growing that fruit. But to the manufacturer, it doesn't mean that at all. Mm. They could think, well, there's fruit in there, and fruit is natural, and therefore they can go ahead and label that product as natural.
That's interesting. That could be a trip up. And one that I'm always looking at, I don't prefer these vegetables or fruits or products over the other ones, but a lot of people obviously now are organic. Does organic have a little bit more meat to it? I guess, pardon the pun, at least a little bit more weight to it, the label organic?
Absolutely. So organic is almost the polar opposite of natural. In terms of there being, even for organic, there's a federal law and there are federal regulations that set the rules for what farmers and processors have to do or cannot do in order to label their product, their food product, with the word organic, and especially that USDA organic seal that you'll often see on organic products. And that goes all the way back to the farms, so what kind of pesticides can be used, no synthetic fertilizers, no antibiotics to treat farm animals. And so from the farm all the way to what type of ingredients can be added to a processed food labeled as organic.
So buzzwords are also interesting because obviously they're manufacturers or people trying to sell their products are trying to capitalize on, you know, media reports or just the new diets that are out there, and they want to entice you to buy those certain things. What are some of those buzzwords that we should watch out for and say, well, they might provide a little bit more information, they're not really either regulated or they're really not telling us much at all?
Right. So you really can't rely on those buzzwords that appear on the front of the package to be a shortcut to finding a more nutritious food. You really have to flip over that package. You can count on the nutrition facts and the ingredients list, because that is regulated, and that has to be on the package. In terms of, you know, you mentioned some maybe recent advice, dietary advice, right? And then we see buzzwords corresponding to that. A great example is we've all heard we need to eat more fruits and vegetables, right? So what we're seeing now is claims like made with real fruit on the label mm-hmm. of very highly processed foods. When you look at the ingredients list, less than 2% of the ingredients are actual fruit. So, yes, there is real fruit in there, but in the end, that product is still very processed, high in sugar, and you're very unlikely to get many of the vitamins and other good nutrients that you would get from real fruit from that product, even though it says it's, you know, made with real fruit.
Charlotte, it's probably impossible for us to capture or talk about every single individual different label we're out there, because there really are so many. I personally love when they let me know that my Diet Coke or my cheese is gluten-free. That's all. I really appreciate that. But are there any, like, is there a good barometer we should use here? Are there a few words or a few letters that we should look for and say, okay, we can trust these labels?
Yeah, so actually the USDA organic one, that encompasses a lot of things, because those are, you know, there's 200 pages of federal standards about what can go into a food labeled organic. So that's really one that you can count on. Another piece of advice that we give consumers is when you see a certain claim, say a farm to fork piece of the story, right? Mm. Like raised without antibiotics.
Or cage free or something like that.
Cage free, exactly. If you care about how animals are raised and their welfare, you might be looking for those types of claims. Watch out for those and look for third party certification, like a certified humane seal accompanying that claim, which tells you that somebody has been to the farm, an independent inspector has been to the farm to verify that claim, and that they met standards set by an organization that really works to set good standards. And so look for those seals on the package. Certified Humane, American Grass-Fed is a good one if you're looking for grass-fed products. Fair trade seals if you're interested in how farm workers are treated and paid fairly. So that's general advice that we give to consumers.
Charlotte, is there anywhere online that people might be able to go for a website just to kind of see all these rules and regulations or ideas or advice, or is it kind of everyone for their own?
So Consumer Reports, we look at those labels. We write lots of stories where we look at different labels on different kinds of foods. So people can go to consumerreports.org and then
follow the links appropriately.
Yeah. Website.
Charlotte, thank you so much. This has been pretty eye-opening for a lot of people. I appreciate your time today.
Great, thank you.
All right, that was Charlotte from an expert on Consumer Report food safety. And again, that was some really helpful stuff. By the way, we're getting plenty of texts on our next subject is, what procedure have young men nearly doubled their double doing here in the last 20 years? Calf implants is one of the texts we've been getting, liposuction, hair transplants, a couple more liposuctions, and my favorite was just a text that says butts. I don't quite know what that means, but we're going to answer that question and plenty more in just a little bit here on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Steve Bertrand out today, John Hansen in today and tomorrow here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Okay, I've teased this enough. So, Liposuctions among young men up 23%. Male breast reductions up 30%. Tummy tucks up 12%. And I may have actually understated this. Something is up 99% since 2000. And something is actually quadrupled. So Dr. Jeffrey Janis, the president of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, is joining us now. And Dr. Jeffrey Janis, what has gone up by 400% in the last 18 years?
Yeah, thank you for having me. 400% is Botox.
That's crazy.
It's actually a brand name, but there's other ones out there like Dysport and Xeomin. But the bottom line is that people are interested in procedures that make them look better with little downtime. And that's up 400% since 2000.
And you mentioned filler injections up 99% as a whole. Is Botox just one of those subcategories of filler injections on the broader scale?
Well, we call those kind of injections where you use the needle rather than the knife. We call them minimally invasive or non-invasive. And so fillers are a part of that. So fillers are up and Botox is up.
Why are we seeing this gigantic rise in these procedures?
Well, you know, there's multiple reasons, I think, for that. Number one, I would say, is that plastic surgery on the whole is more popular than ever. Year over year, and of course, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons analyzes and releases statistics every year, and we see that plastic surgery is growing in popularity. Why is that? I would say that a lot more people are talking about plastic surgery than ever before. If you look back to the year 2000, since you mentioned that, this was maybe conversation that a lot of people didn't have, or they had in the privacy of their own home, or maybe at best they might share it with their best friend, their interest in having plastic surgery. But over time, and I think a lot of this is related to social media, not only are you sharing that interest with people that you know, but oftentimes you're sharing that with people that you don't even know. If you think about some of the social media platforms, more people are talking about it. It's very commonly discussed. The stigma is removed, and not only are more people interested in it, but they're following through with it.
Are these procedures any safer than they were? Maybe safer is not the right word, but are they better than they were before?
Yeah, of course. Plastic surgery is known for innovation, and we don't do the same things that the same way that we did 20 years ago. I would say it's in a constant state of evolution, and first and foremost is patient safety. Everything that we do is trying to make everything, needle or knife, safer for patients, and of course we're interested in their happiness. Safety comes first.
When you look at tabloids, you often see stories of plastic surgeries gone wrong or who had too much work. When you see those stories, do you find that damaging to the industry, or are there cases is there where things go wrong, or you just know that sometimes, not that no press is bad press, but the idea that there, in any case, you're going to have some mishaps. Does that make you cringe when you see that?
Well, you know, I think there are always the exceptions, but, you know, if you think about a lot of the things that may be seen on TV, I think that oftentimes they're not entirely realistic. For instance, you know, patients go through surgery, you cut to a commercial break, and when you get back, they're all better. There's no bruising, there's no swelling, there's no downtime. You know, you were gone for 3 minutes, and next thing you know, you're fully recovered. That's not the case. You know, I think the important part is finding a qualified person to do your plastic surgery, which is why you need to find a board-certified plastic surgeon. And again, you could go to plasticsurgery.org, which are members of ASPS, or the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. There you will find the qualified professionals who have the right training in order to deliver the outcomes that the patients are looking for. And I might note, we're also known for operating in accredited facilities, which means that it's not just who you're getting, it's where you're getting operated on or treated on. That's not a barn, it's not a basement, that's not a closet. These are all things you can find on the internet that unfortunately can be true. So if you're interested in plastic surgery, plasticsurgery.org is the place to go.
All right. I got to get rid of my love handles. Can you do that, Dr. Jeffrey Janis?
Some things are a little bit too far gone. Sorry.
That's the perfect answer. Nope, that's the best answer. We're going to leave it at that. Dr. Jeffrey Janis, thanks so much for joining us here on the Winter's Business Lunch.
Thank you so much.